Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
I want to welcome everybody to another program in the context of the 50th anniversary of UCSD. I want to contextualize this because it's an important moment for our university. As you know, this particular set of lectures are part of an initiative led by the Division of Arts and Humanities under the direction of Seth Leder to celebrate particularly the art and architecture in our campus in the context of this 50th anniversary. Of course, this is about a celebration of the campus and the architecture and the art. And on one hand, I cannot avoid just briefly just mentioning a meditation about what the celebration means. Of course, it means a retroactive look, a celebration of achievements, framing certain lineages, etc. This was, in fact, what the previous speakers, as historians, have enabled, a critical context within which to evaluate the present. But on the other hand, I believe that a celebration, of course, is also an opportunity for self-critique, how to evaluate, how to elevate, in fact, this history to enable a more projective aspiration, a more projective imagination, to rethink our achievements, the lessons learned in order to construct new models of possibility. This implies, and this has been part of our discussion, our debate in the committee and with these dialogues, this implies a fundamental shift in our thinking, institutionally, of course, but also directly in the terms and in the way we have been growing as a city and as a campus. In other words, at a time when we are all aspiring for change, the change seems only to be urgent to maintain a status quo, when in fact, what is needed is a fundamental different set of arrangements, because the way we have been growing has become unsustainable, and architecture and the landscape have exhausted themselves as commodities. Clement is a gardener, horticultural engineer, botanist, entomologist, landscape architect and designer, ecological theorist, environmental activist, and a writer. Removed from his Verdun-Limousin region at age 7, Clement accompanied his family to North Africa as well, returning to France 7 years later. The dramatic desert landscape, devoid of plants, impressed him to the extent that he acquired a love for plants and gardening at an early age. Though he initially wanted to become an artist, he was encouraged to pursue a professional degree and wisely understood that landscape design is a form of painting itself. Clement research, design work and writing, as well as teaching, have unfolded in 4 projects that evolved from his sustained practice as a gardener. I'm sure he will elaborate on that tonight. The gardening movement, the planetary garden, the third landscape, and most recently, the symbiotic man. These concepts that frame his practice have always been informed by empirical observation, becoming the core of Clement's practice, leading to his valorization of gardening as a practice that works with nature and never against it. The distillation of his observation and practice took the form of the Gardening Movement project. Finally, among Clement's many built gardens, I don't know how many of you have been in Paris, but one of my favorite parks is the Parc André Citroën in Paris, which he designed, the Mediterranean Gardens of Rayol in France, the Jardin de l'Arche in La Défense, Paris, the Île de Borance and Parc the Park for Henri Matisse at the Uralil station in Lille, and many other important projects. Clement, in fact, visited La Jolla, San Diego, Imperial Beach, San Isidro, and Tijuana for the first time in 2007 as keynote speaker for a project that the Visual Arts Department organized called the Political Equator. After seeing the derelict state of Friendship Park at Playas de Tijuana and experiencing the hardscape despite curious signs that read landscaping ahead in the border zone, he envisioned a third landscape garden on the U.S.-Mexico border, which would draw attention to the degradation of the transborder ecological zone of the Tijuana River estuary and Los Laureles Canyon in Tijuana, with the ever more impenetrable fences that interrupt and threaten these transnational natural systems.
I'm happy to be here for the second time. I've been in San Diego 2 years ago, in Tijuana too. Now, I would like to show you some example of my way of gardening. I say I am a gardener. I prefer that than landscape architect, but of course I am also landscape architect. First, I want to give you a definition of my idea of a garden. Garden, the name comes from garten. The meaning is an enclosure, something which is completely closed, and which is done in order to protect the best. The best change with the time, the story. It's not the same 200 years ago and today. For me, the best today is probably not the high and strong perspective of the classic garden, probably not the dramatic landscape, the romantic one, something else. I think because the ecological purpose give us strong information about the life, I think that the best we have to protect is the life, mostly the diversity. So when I had the opportunity to have a garden in the center of France, the Limousin, in 77, I bought this ground, I built the house by myself, it was a long job, and I started to try to protect the diversity which was in this place and which is today more or less the same than 30 years ago. You can see that the house is quite in sort of immersion inside the nature with native plants and exotic too, and with the work of the gardeners possible to understand, because some shrubs I pruned, but also some plants are completely free as in a wild system. The pictures has been took from the top of this tree which disappeared in 1999, a big storm, and instead of the tree, a sort of natural and sudden garden appear. This one with euphorbia and also the poppies, Californian poppies I have in my garden. Of course the seeds were here. I didn't know that. But because the sun came and also the rain, it was a possibility for those seeds to grow. My job was only to take off the plants with probably were not good for the others, for the plants I want to keep in this kind of garden. The garden made by nature, partly made by it. So it changed a lot today. This is a very new picture. Other plants came by itself. Those daisies, other poppies, digitalis, etc., verbascum, they came by itself. I just keep it in the garden. So the energy provided by nature is so high that I don't want to go against it. I want to go with. This is the philosophy of this garden. Another important thing occurred 20 years ago, 25 years ago, the apple tree fall. I thought it was a possibility to keep the tree even if it's lying on the ground, because the roots still in the soil. And I had to invent a sort of different maintenance of the grass around. That was the beginning of the gardening movement. And in this grass, which is not cut, a lot of different plants appear. I discovered bulbs and others. At the end, because the tree was tied on the top, I had to cut it, and I selected one of the new branch, like this, as you see. And today, this apple still have the roots on the right side and the trunk on the left. This is incredible possibility for every tree to make a sort of new appearance and to live long, long time, even if it falls down. It's a new way of gardening with trees. The third thing important for me was the travel of the plants inside the garden. You see there a plant which is it has a very bad reputation as an invasive, coming from Caucasium, Heracleum Montegardianum, but I love it because it was very important in my own story of gardener. The new seeds on the left, I recognize it and I want to have in this place, even if it's a place where I walk. It was a sort of path. I decided to keep the plants. If the plants are on the path, here's a weed. Does it change? It was a good plant in another place and it is a bad here? No, it's not possible. I decided that there is no weeds in this kind of garden. In the gardener I am, so decided to follow the movement, the traveling of the plants in the garden. This is why I call it the garden in movement. So you see this plant coming with high size, the flowering system, and they will die because it's a biennial after the seed. So it is not a problem. But I don't know where the new plants will appear next year. So this is why the garden changes every year. This is the gardener in front, you know. Help me. Another gardener, you cannot see it, is in another animal, a mole. You know the sort of spots of ground without grass. The mole has been removed the ground and I make something flat. But this is a very precious soil for the very tiny seeds of this kind of plants, which is not able to grow in the thick grass. Impossible, but it's possible on the removed ground. So the diversity, which is really mostly represented by the annual and biennial in this kind of garden, is maintained with the different accident due to the moles. I don't know if there are many moles in California, but I have a lot in my garden. Those plants are also traveling, changing every time in this garden. This is the look of this garden in the wet part with big leaves, plants, exotic one from Chile and others. So I try to propose this kind of garden or this way of gardening for the Parc André Citroën for the first time, the public space in France, in 86. We designed this project with the architect Patrick Berger and another team. And today we can have a look on this. It is a very formal system in the center, in the axis. But all the gardens are in the frame, all around. We call it the serial gardens. The maintenance of this kind of gardening, of gardens around, is more or less the same than a conventional garden. But there is a big garden in movement too. Here you see the gardener of this garden, 1 hectare more or less. He is designing a curve. And he chose the plant he will take off and the plant he will conserve, keep on the garden. So he is not only somebody who is able to give name to the plants and to choose what are the best and not and the others, but also he is an architect, he is a designer. So the design of this kind of garden is not possible to do on a table before. It's only when you are inside nature with the material the nature offers to you. It changes of look, of course, with the years, and because a lot of people coming and jog, the jogger are very many jogger, you can find paths, this is the part of the garden in motion a few years ago. It's a lot of people, it's more than 1,000 people each weekend when the weather is okay. Many tiles, many, and picnic station inside this garden. A very recent one, another one, which is completely inside the town of Lyon in France, the area is about 5 hectares, is probably now for me the best garden in terms of ecological maintenance. The project was a very simple lawn, narrow, on the is here like an axis, and two other fields, and all around a garden in movement with shrubs also and trees, flowers, perennial and annuals. This garden is maintained by a very good gardener. Of course, the different design change every year. He knows very well the things about the garden in movement. And he had something I didn't propose at the beginning, that animals, first he cut the herb once a year and he gave it to the sheep. These sheep are the animal he invite them to help him. He tell that only 3 or 4 are necessary, and when there are too many, the babies he gave them to the other parks in Lyon. This ship is from Soy Island, the north of England, a very wild one. You don't need to take care too much. In this garden, low maintenance garden, we don't provide water, no entrance, no chemicals, nothing to kill insects. Insects are probably the key, the very important point. If you kill one, you cut the ecosystem links, and this is the worst thing. So in this garden, we have many kinds of different insects, birds, of course, beans, bees, etc. And with the sheep, the special mulch, and two kinds of mulching, and a very good recycling. It never the manager, the head gardener, never export the organic material in order to put it in the waste, you know, outside. It is expensive and stupid because all those things are food for the other plants, the things you cut, the grass you cut, etc. So he is also somebody who is able to recognize the interest of the plants which are traveling in the garden, and accept the weeds. It is a campus, this park. About 1,000 people, students, live here. l'École normale Lettres in Lyon. Another example of a low maintenance garden is in the town of Bruxelles. Here is a very simple system in a delta form. I propose a steps system. The step is very large and is broken by three, as you see in the picture. And all the people come from the big buildings on top and go to the supermarket on the other side. The ground cover system is a really low maintenance system, and here also we don't provide any water, any anything, only a soft gardening. It is a public space. And on the hedges, about 3 hectares, the area is, the maintenance is like a garden in motion too. It changes every year. And we are now going to make something with water. It is the new project for this big part. This is a recent project also, in surrounding the Museum of Art Premier, we call it, in France. And the landscape I propose for this place is a sort of savanna with a lot of different gramineas and some plants which are able to grow in the water. As you see, there is no grass with trees on. It is not an occidental landscape, but more close to the idea of a savanna, because it is in relation with the different purposes we speak about inside the garden, inside the museum, sorry. The text calm is a very natural one, even if we are close to such a conventional architecture, traditional in Paris, the Haussmann architecture. This is the building of Jean Nouvel, the museum. And on the opposite side, close to the River Seine, the garden is a little bit different, but all the ground is covered with grasses and flowers, not with the grass, and there is no hard maintenance. It's really simple. This is this kind of garden, and the symbol you can find everywhere is the shape of the turtle, because turtle is really an important symbol in every civilization, animist civilization. The museum speak inside. As this terrace, the shape is a turtle shape, etc. Even some stones like this. And at night, you can have this kind of landscape under the building, because the garden is going also under the building, with an lightning installation from Yann Kersalet, and at the bottom the big gramineas. Even in winter, it's interesting. Now, this is the garden in motion and in movement, or mostly the garden with low maintenance. And maintenance, ecological maintenance. But because a lot of different animals, also plants, are living in the place, in the wild, and those insects which are living there, birds, etc., help the gardener, which is gardening on the other side. So we need places where it's necessary to do nothing. I call it the third landscape. Why? Because I was analyzing the landscape of the Limousin around the Lac de Vassivière, and for me it was a sort of binary, a landscape in two terms, forest and fields. Forest, engineer of forest, and fields, engineer agronomic. This is for cows. We have cows in Limousin. As you can see, this is a very, very regular plantation of forest in this landscape. And I was looking for the diversity, and I didn't find it under the trees, and I didn't find it in the grass. So I was looking for it because it was so important for me. I suppose that the future is here. It's the pool, genetic pool, for the invention of the new combination for the future. So where is the diversity? And I found it in the between, in the places where the ground is completely abandoned. I call it the third landscape. You can see nothing under the trees. But some in these places, on the edges of the road, all along the small path like this, and in other places, everywhere where men don't nothing. Even in the town, it's the same. Here, in these corners, nobody can do nothing, it's impossible. So plants come. First pioneers, and after that others, ground covers and trees, etc. All this diversity can have a refuge place here, and it cannot live in another countries, in other places, in the garden, even in the garden. So I said, well, we need to know what is this third landscape. It's probably a treasure. And we had to work with some towns. Like this one is Montpellier, the town of Montpellier in France, in order to decide what we are going to do with the délaissé. Délaissé is the term for those pieces of ground where there is nothing. And we proposed to the town to this kind of map with three kind of maintenance of project. One is, okay, in some places we can do something for people who is necessary for these people living around to have a playground or something else. In another places, we can just have paths and in a low maintenance landscape. And in another places, we do nothing, absolutely nothing, because we say that here the diversity is so interesting, we want to protect it, and that's all. This is a tool for the political who is actually managing the town of Montpellier. Oh, this is not a map, it is a tapestry, it was a drawing. They ordered to me sort of things like that in my country. Side in Limousin. Between the two blue spots, you have 8 kilometers. It is the valley of a river Creuse. And orange and yellow spots is the places where the diversity is in refuge. And the gray one is the man activity. So even in a very apparently wild and natural landscape, the diversity is not everywhere. Is in the few area. That was an object I proposed for the CCA in Montreal. speaking about only the third landscape. The different pieces we collected very close to the building in a small ground, which is in Delissé, completely abandoned. And we found a lot of different things, different species of plants, of also things becoming from the human industry. It was impossible to put everything because too heavy. That was an object, and all the explanation was around on the wall, and the traduction has been done by Denise Bratton. Thank you, Denise, for that. That is very important for the history of the manifesto of the third landscape, because I wrote a book. The title is Manifesto. It is a manifesto. I have a few examples. We have a scenography, special scenography for third landscape in public park. The first one is the Parc Matisse, the town of Lille. The sort of island you see in the center is like a base for a wild, completely wild system landscape on top. Here is. And the wall is concrete. We feel the hill. It was a hill at the beginning, and I keep only the top. And we designed the shape of this island, the concrete inside, and we take off the earth around. So nature is making his own landscape on top. This is the evolution. The people who was living there didn't like it at the beginning. They were completely afraid, and they ordered that for the town to take it off. But it was so expensive, they didn't do it, unfortunately. So they proposed to put some trees around in order to hide this horrible object. And now, because we can have discussion with the population, they understand very well, and that the diversity is a real important point, and everything is okay now, and we can probably in a few days, next month, cut the trees around. This is the story of this park. Of course, the maintenance around is garden in movement, like that. And low maintenance place. And the project we are actually doing is on the top of the military base. It's completely concrete, so apparently sterile, but it is, in fact, it is not. The third part here is finished, has been finished by the German people at the end of the last war. But not the others. So I proposed three kind of garden on top, because it is now a public space. You can see that the part which is completely finished, they call it chambre d'éclatement. That means the place where the bombs can drop on the roof, but without damage, because this system is in order to protect the roof. In this chambre d'éclatement, it was a possibility for me to plant big trees. And another part, the garden, is a very special one with only ground cover able to grow even in the concrete, no assistance. Here is the simulation for the wood of the tree. The name of this tree is Populus tremula. Here is the beginning of this work with the sort of mini groove of Populus tremula. Populus tremula, that is, the leaves tremble like that, you know. And so I think it's a possibility that the bays tremble too, the building. It's a very artificial system we need, because there is no other way. But not in this case. This is the Jardin des Orpins. We use the ground cover, which are able to grow by itself. Very small plants, like this. Well, and at the end, another one, which is a real part of the third landscape garden. We just add stones and a little bit mixture with sands and ground and soil, and we wait. We just wait. And the wind, the birds come, and the seeds become to grow, and we determine each species with a school of students, a school which is close to Saint-Nazaire. This is the base is in Saint-Nazaire. We call it Le Jardin des Étiquettes. Étiquette, the name, the system on which we print the name of each plant. It's just the beginning we are doing now, so it's a very new, recent. This is here. We took this picture yesterday. This is the wild garden, sort of chaparral system. And at the end, so this is really a third landscape, natural one, a wild, but not the eucalyptus grove on the bottom. Well, all this landscape is mixed, is a mixed between something which is very close to the native and something which is not. It can be considered as an ecosystem emergent, an emergent ecosystem. Because, in fact, the eucalyptus are living exactly in the same, exactly like as sub-native. They are able to grow by themselves like the natives. So this is a very interesting problem in this campus of the University of San Diego. Of course, under those eucalyptus, nothing is growing. Nothing but the Australian plants. Australian ground cover are able to grow, but this is also an interesting light with such a tiny shadow, very special. More special, more interesting ecosystem emergent we saw is yesterday. It is a sort of sunken garden with not non-native, but a mixed of exotic. It doesn't matter. They live by themselves. Those plants, I suppose nobody come to take care of it. It is a very economical garden, in fact. I love it. And also, there is falling eucalyptus lying on the soil with many trunks like this. A tree today can be considered as a colony, not as an individual. Each one new trunk is an individual. And I also propose that we have to recognize the different species of eucalyptus. There are many different in this this landscape, not only the huge groove landscape in the spine of the campus, but everywhere. Some other species are really interesting. It could be interesting to give the name of each one. I've been also very interested by this. It is not the third landscape, of course. It is completely the opposite. But it is probably the more political one and subversive. This is done by students. They do what they do there. It is an image for probably future sustainable system, the production and consumption, local production, local consumption. Well, in this place we saw some birds we never see before. This is the Katy garden. I don't know who is Katy, but... Well, at the end, I just show you the work with some students we are doing since more than 7 years in a school. It was a real third landscape ground, completely abandoned, 5 hectares. And they work. I just go 4 times a year, and we decide what it is opportune to do, but in fact they are the designer, and they do what they can do without money. They don't have nothing. Of course, those small bridges will be destroyed in a few time, and they have to rebuild it every year or 2 years, but it doesn't matter. This is not the problem. The problem is what we can do with nature, which has been abandoned for more than 10 years and with a big richness of diversity inside. How the best way to keep it? So they built many things like Belvedere, paths, bridges, things like that. And also mulch like this. And they work as gardeners with the trunks of the oaks. They prune also some of them in order to make labyrinths and new landscape, but only with the plants which are already here. They don't plant any other coming from outside. They cannot. Even with this piney shrub, they try to do something like this, a sort of walk inside. I didn't hide this idea. This is the idea of the student. And each one reach a very old tree. They give the name of dinosaur of each one, and they prune it, etc. It's like a sculptor work. And even with horrible weeds, everybody hates it in this country, the yellow one. They do something because they have to do with everything. This is the protocol. So they transform completely these weeds in sort of sculpture, like this one. They work in every strata, not only the herb or shrubs, but also the thickness of the landscape of trees around. This is, I come back to my garden. Between those two pictures, this one, 7 years, an experience from 7 years with students. This is more than 30 years in my own garden, but I try to maintain the diversity. I think it's a real possibility, and without nothing, without money, it is not an expensive project. And the last picture is this one. I found it here. It is a very mysterious sign for me. I hope it is a hope, you know. We probably have in the mind sort of landscape ahead. So we hope. Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.